Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where our goal is to make politics more accessible and less intimidating.
The show features an interview with an expert in the political field, walking us through the many cues we have about politics, civics, government, and more.
By providing civic education in the places we are, on our phones, and in the language we speak. And yes, we know we say like a lot.
It's kind of the point, because politics needed a rebrand. Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast. I think I know what I'm getting you for this holiday season, Samantha.
What? Oh, I know. I know what you're going to say, but do tell. Do enlighten me.
A George Santos cameo, of course.
You are too good to me. That, it warms my heart. I can't wait to open it. This is going to be the best Merry Christmas, New Year's palooza of all time. Dude, I can't get over them. They're so funny. Like, obviously, everyone's screen recording theirs and, like, putting them on TikTok. I can't get enough of them. Like, I know it's bad for democracy. I know people should not be buying them because it's giving him money.
Is it so bad for democracy?
Probably somewhere. I don't have the brain capacity to even think more in depth about it than that. And it's, like, very surface level capacity.
But, like, Botox and filler comments he made.
The problem is he's so relatable.
He's so relatable. He really seems to be for the girls and the gays, except, like, he hasn't been, obviously, for the past couple years, being in Congress and being a conservative asshole. But it's funny. I saw this meme and was like, is George Santos about to be, like, the next reality star, like, camp gay icon? Because I don't think we can have that. But it's like, now that he's literally out, if he wants to rebrand and be this, like, campy gay queen, like, I'm honestly into it.
Well, I can't.
He should just do full expose too. Like, if he loves the drama and the attention, expose the fuck out of all of your former colleagues, please. Please.
Well, he's been. That was not English. He's beginning to do so, or was, on Twitter. I've only seen some, like, screenshots because your girl does not do the Twitter. But no, a tell-all book, all the secrets, all the behind the scenes, by all means. Like, if you're going to try and burn down the building, you might as well finish the job. Like,
yeah. And if he's trying to monetize, I have 101 ideas for him. So. Just saying.
He's, you know what it is? And this is so bad to say. He is so much more interesting to me than Anna Delvey. Like, I always call him, like, the Anna Delvey of politics. But she really gives me the creeps. And I know it's, like, obviously part of his mastery of manipulation, but he doesn't give me the creeps. Like, I just find him hilarious and obviously off his rocker, but not in a way that, like, gives me, like, chills down my spine. Whereas, like, in the few audio interviews of Anna Delvey, like, I genuinely get, like, chills. Like, there's something so darkly off. And not that, like, what he did isn't dark and all the various things, but on his level, like, some of the sound bites, even the video of him saying, I know you guys want a sound bite, like, the whole fucking program is so good. The roundups, I was texting you this, like, I'm gonna miss the guy. Like, not just from, like, a fodder perspective.
Made for fame.
Made for fame, pure entertainment. I also think the times we live in are so dark right now in so many capacities that while, and then again, in essence, what he did, not even in essence, what he did was wrong. And I don't side with like what he did or anything. His ridiculousness is so absurd and spoofy and ridiculous and almost like light in a weird way that it feels like such the like breath of fresh air. Maybe that's the wrong phrase. Like something that just can make you like actually crack up and like crack a smile. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm that. Like for fucking sure. Oh, and while we're just on this ramble, did you see that the book that just came out about him is being optioned for a movie by HBO?
No.
Somebody didn't read this week's newsletter.
I'm sorry, I've been busy today. But I didn't even know there was a book. So that also just tells you again, don't forget how I'm under a rock.
True. But also you'll LOL because I was in this bookstore this weekend and whatchamacallit. First off, I'm like, you know, you can always find me in like the politics, social sciences area. And I see the book that's the George Santos book. And I'm like, OMG, I don't even need to read this because we witnessed this entire thing, but also interesting that this is officially out. And it was next to Kat Calvin's book. And I so badly wanted to like take it and put it in front, but then I was like, I'm going to get in trouble. You know, I'm such a people pleaser. But regardless, Kat Calvin representation at the bookstore. I was very happy to see it. You guys have not listened to that episode yet. Go do it. It's one of our faves. Both episodes are two of our faves, actually. And the book's totally good.
Our favorite children, some may say.
1,000%. They are the favorites. They will be getting the best Christmas presents.
Yeah, for sure. And the most. Yeah, I mean, this George Santos transformation is going to be interesting to watch. And I think like, what's such a relief about it all is that there is, you know, a weight off of our shoulders. There is a sigh of relief that can be had because he's no longer in our largest governing body and now can really just like be his true crazy self. And we get to just like watch it for the entertainment. And for that reason, I'm excited.
No, like
for that reason, I'm in.
I can't stop laughing just thinking about the one he did for Senator Menendez. And he didn't know, apparently. So Fetterman, for those that don't know, Fetterman bought a cameo of George Santos for Senator Menendez, who is like being investigated for all this crazy corruption shit, right? And which just like, it's like the perfect herring situation. Mm-hmm. And I guess George Santos didn't know that like Bobby was Bob Menendez when he did the cameo. He thought he was just like, Bob, like the haters gonna hate, like stick with it, like they're gonna come for you, but you got this. I can't. It's
too good. I want to know how much money he's racked up so far.
Apparently 40,000.
Not bad for like what, 48 hours?
Probably.
24?
Ridiculous. I also saw that Nebraska State Senator Megan Hunt, former guest girl and got the podcast, also was gifted a bond. I think from a friend. I wasn't quite sure, but I saw it on the threads. Iconic. Yeah, we're on threads, guys. BT Dubs. Go find us there. We occasionally have fun.
Maybe we should buy one as Girl on the Gov and like include it in an episode or in a newsletter and just say to all the Girl on the Gov listeners from George Santos, happy holidays. And that's going to be our last episode of this year.
We don't release anything else.
It's just like a 2-minute episode of George Santos. Maybe he'll just come on the show for us, honestly. That'd be great.
Well, did you also see? Sorry, why am I? Literally, this is the only news I've absorbed, apparently. He's also going to go on ZWE.
Oh, yes, I saw that. That's going to be iconic. You know, if he's at that caliber already, I'm worried he won't, you know, respond to our request, but.
Which, honestly, guys, that should inspire you to share this podcast with everyone you know. And
get us on ZWE's level.
Put it on your stories. Yeah, like we help us grow the show. Help us get to a level where we can have George Santos on the show.
Dreams. That's what dreams are made of right there.
Thank you, Lizzie McGuire. You are just too helpful.
Yeah, it's really not out of reach. You know, we've had members of Congress and former members of Congress on our show. So,
well, he has speaking actually of George Santos's race or his former seat, we actually have had two people that were gunning and are gunning for that seat. So, for details, you guys may remember that we had former congressman at the time, Tom Suozzi, on. And he at the time was running for governor in New York, so he was giving up his seat, hence how George Santos slimed his way into the seat. Slimed. What is he, a slug?
Maybe.
I can't.
He probably does slug every night. And for my parents who are listening, that's not a sexual term. It's a skincare term. So just wanted to clarify.
Mm-hmm. Facts. That's actually a really good clarification.
Yeah, I think it was an important one.
Anyways, slugging and slithering, however he made it, he did. And in the meantime, obviously, people were like, WTF, what is going on? And so our friend Zach, who founded The Next 50, which really works to get young people elected to Congress and so on and other positions as well, he decided to put his hat in the ring and then decided to take his hat out of said ring. But he did come on the show to talk all about Awesome The Next 50. So definitely check out the episode and you guys should get involved with what they're up to and all of that. And then as he dropped and decided, you know what, let's do something else, former Congressman Tom Suozzi decided to be like, you know what, I want my seat back. Let's do this shit. And now he
we're very involved in the district. And so, again, it's just more reason why George Santos needs to come on our show. It's just, guys, we're so involved in New York district. What's the number?
I want to say it's 13.
We're going to go with 13. Not sure if that's right, but
please fact nonetheless check us. Please fact check us.
It's just the stars seem to be aligning and
great necks included. Does that help people, for my Long Island people?
There we go.
There it is.
Well, speaking of guests, we have one today.
We do. And this guest wow, she's sly. She's, what is with me in the S words today?
She's segueing.
She's slugging. I can't. Okay. Anyways, our guest is actually super awesome, unlike George Santos. Anyways, moving on to our actual guest, not George Santos. Guys, our guest today is Rudy Garrett. She is the VP for Alliance for Youth Action. She is so fucking fun. We did not want to end this episode. We actually could have stayed on for hours and hours. And so excited for you guys to jump in. This episode is your 2024 voter prep guide. You have a friend that's not really sure what the hell is going on in 24. Send this episode to them. You want to get refreshed yourself on how to get up to speed on, registering to vote, how to prep for elections, making that voter plan, all those things. This is going to be that episode you save and you go back to time and time again. But again,
and we will be pushing out 100 times next year.
You guys are going to be we know.
Well, and primary season is literally upon us. It's weeks away, if you can believe that. So now is the time for this episode and to be sending it to friends so that people are not only ready for November of next year, but for these early months, because there is voting that needs to happen. So,
literally the level to which some of these primaries are so early bird.
I know. It's nuts.
Again, I could honestly go on a whole rant about that, but I will keep the people from that rant for now. To a later date, to a later time, getting into this episode. Without further ado, here is Rudy.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Rudy, welcome to Girl in the Gov, the podcast. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm fangirling a little bit, not going to lie.
Okay. All right. Find me fainting. It's not a deal. We will absolutely be putting this in the Girl in the Gov Hall of Fame, which I'm now inspired to, quote, unquote, build. It'll be a digital Hall of Fame. you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we want to get into so many different things, but looking at 2024 and getting prep for elections. And of course, this kind of will be like 2024 and beyond, because it's like you always should be prepared. But you are the VP at Alliance for Youth Action, which obviously connects the dots between all of these topics. Can you explain what you guys do there, what the mission is, and all of that mishigas?
Sure, absolutely. So the Alliance for Youth Action is a nationwide organization of 19 grassroots affiliates that all focus on youth civic engagement work in some way. A common thread that binds us is democracy work, so making sure young people have better access to the ballot box and to their local governing officials. And each organization has their own issues, because we know that young people are not a monolith. So each organization kind of puts their own secret sauce into it of the issues that young people in their area care about and the things that they need to see get done. But together, we come together to create the Alliance for Youth Action and Alliance for Youth Organizing, respectively, and work to drive youth voter turnout in the upcoming elections. So that's what we're all about.
Amazing. Music to our ears. We love to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, just backing up a little bit, we'd love to know too, just kind of how you personally got your start in politics. We're always curious to hear the origin stories of our guests, just because they are so wide ranging.
That's very true. And I will say I did stumble into organizing. I had no idea what youth organizing was. I came to the Alliance for Youth Action by way of our local Chicago affiliate, Chicago Votes. So I graduated from college in 2013, dating myself, and I'm a Midwestern girl. I'm from Indiana originally, but I live in Chicago. Chicago, Illinois has been my home for the last decade. And I actually moved here to go to culinary school. So I graduated from college with a degree in political science. And I love cooking and politics. Those are like my passions in life, right? Who doesn't want to argue over some good food? I'm just saying. So I moved to Chicago to go to culinary school, and that actually never panned out, never got to go. But I got into culinary school and I needed to find a job to pay for it. So I was bouncing around from job to job, and I ended up working at a law firm in the city and was like, okay, well, you know, maybe I could use my degree to like, maybe I want to go to law school. But I found out that is not what I want to do at all. That was not my path in politics or into politics. I actually was on idealist.org, because that's where you go to find like the good jobs, like the good people jobs, right? And I found this organization called Chicago Votes, and they were looking for an organizing director. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to bless this nonprofit with my skills, because my closet is color coordinated. My paper clips and binder clips don't mix. So I know what organizing is.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Had no idea what I was getting into, but I did an internship with them. I applied. They were like, you're not qualified for this job, but we have something for you. You're a young person, you're interested in politics, and you believe in the power of young people and your peers to make a positive change. And that's what you're looking for. So come do an internship with us. And I stayed at that organization for 9 years, and they could not get rid of me no matter how hard they tried. And that's kind of like how I got brought into this world of youth organizing. I was coordinating train takeovers and voter registration drives at night and working at a law firm during the daytime as like a sales assistant processing paperwork. So that's how I got into the movement. They offered me a job. I became a lead field organizer, and it's in the books from there. I've been 100% invested and bought into the youth organizing movement ever since. That's how I got here.
Okay, question. What dish do you think is the best dish to make to unify people?
My first, because you know, if you've done any kind of work on campaigns, pizza is currency. So, I mean, even thinking about the words that you use for money, dough, cheese, like, and then if you're cool and hip, you have sauce. So put all those things together. And that's like liquid gold in organizing. So that's I would say pizza is really great, because you can make your own, put whatever toppings you want on it in the same way that you can like build a ballot.
Everyone loves pizza.
Pizza and pasta, man. That's where you go.
Yeah, definitely. Carbs. That's the quickest way to the heart for me, at least.
Seriously. That's like, I don't trust someone that doesn't like pizza. You know what I mean? Like, right? There's something a little like off. You're like, do you? And there's so many varieties. Like, I can understand if you're like not a sauce person, you only like, you know, a white pizza with a lot of ricotta, but no pizza.
I also I was thinking about this recently. I was like, what? I mean, ideally, in a perfect world, I would love to not work in politics forever. You know, I want to like put the work in and like make this beautiful world, and then we like never have to touch it again. And I was like, I would love to like retire and be just like open a cute little bakery or something. Yes. Awesome. And now I'm like, you got to go back to culinary school at some point. Once we solve all the world's problems, then we're all just going to like have these wholesome little like cooking jobs.
Reflect on, remember when it was hard and we didn't have all the problems solved, and now we can just reminisce on the struggle that it took to get here.
Exactly.
That would be perfect. Mm-hmm. Over some wine and pizza. It's a win.
Here for it.
Yeah. Have you guys seen that movie with Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin where they're like exes and then they basically have an affair with each other?
Yes.
But you know her life where she's like has this bakery and like this beautiful home. I'm like, that's what I want later in life. Anyways, there's our rabbit hole that we were warning you about. But you also founded Parade to the Poles. Can you tell us a little bit about this and kind of what we can also look to in 2024 around Parade to the Poles?
Absolutely. So I founded Parade to the Poles when I was a wee baby organizer, when I had to walk uphill both ways in the snow with no shoes way back in the day. I believe the largest iteration was in 2015, though the initial beginnings started at a local Chicago high school. It was during Democracy Week. We were coming in, registering students to vote. And then a small sect of students were really interested, like, okay, so like, I'm registered. I've done a whole bunch of research in class with my teachers and my peers. Well, what do I do now? We're like, well, you go vote. Like, are your parents going? And they're like, well, my parents aren't going to vote. And like, could like we go together, maybe me and a few friends? And we're like, why not? So an organizer, his name is Antonio Bacon at Chicago Votes, he like came after school and like went with the students to a local polling place for them to cast their first ballot. And we were like, wait, we are on to something. If this school has students who are interested in going and voting and would love to do it with their peers and like make it a cute celebration, why wouldn't everybody else? Like, there has to be more students who are interested in this.
Totally.
And so that is the beginnings of the Parade to the Poles program with Chicago Votes. 2015, we came back, we worked with the CPS Department of Social Science and Civic Engagement and created a in-school field trip style exercise where students came together. We registered them to vote. We talked about the ballot, gave them a blind candidate match in case they hadn't done the research, showed them like, here's what the touchscreen is going to look like. Here's what the paper is going to look like. Here's how you shade it in to demystify the entire process. Cause like going in to maybe your elementary school, maybe your local library, and you're talking to people you've never met before and engaging in a process that's super foreign to you.
It feels like the SAT. You're like,
yeah, you're like, is this a test that I didn't study for? Not only do we want to make sure that young people are prepared to, you know, show up confidently, we also want to make sure that they understand how to traverse the space, both physically and then like with their ballot and have everything together. So creating something that demystifies the voting process, creates comfort, and then also creates celebration, because I think there's a lot to be mad at. There's a lot to be really upset and moved to action by, but there's also a lot to celebrate. Our communities are diverse and really beautiful, and we come together to support each other in such unique ways. Why can't going and voting together be one of those ways that we also celebrate our diversity, celebrate the issues that are important to us, and show up for one another in a way that is super communal? So Parade to the Poles was born. We take young people to go vote, and it's usually a physical parade. Could be on a bus, and then they parade around the neighborhood near the polling place, or it's a physical parade from their school to a ballot box with as many eligible voters. Some folks have their pep squads, their marching bands. They invite community members to come out. They will dress up. They make posters. And the whole point is to act as a reminder to the community. Not only am I taking this step, but you also can join and take the step too. So it's a unique and fun way to try to make a memorable experience so that they're more likely to do it again. And they're more likely to bring their peers with them the next time that they do it.
Totally, which is epic, amazing, all the things. And it is so true, like navigating the space itself, like at least everywhere, like I voted, you're like literally like making a beeline. Like my last name is in the middle of the alphabet. So you're like making a beeline to the middle table and then you're like wiggling through and you're like, is this my model stage? Like, how am I supposed to do this? And then, I act like it's America's Next Top Model, but I also can see how it gives people anxiety. So I think it's cool that you guys are really like walking people through the space and how these things work, because it is definitely overwhelming if you haven't done it before. And that's super, super important. But I'm also so curious too, in terms of at the schools and registering people to vote, and that sort of like in between, it's like you've registered people to vote and then actually getting them to the polls, and like what some of those barriers are. I know you just sort of said, you know, some people, their parents aren't necessarily going, you know, what does that look like, especially for like a high school student? Because obviously a lot of people don't have cars. They might not be able to get a ride there. You know, like what are some of those barriers?
Some of those barriers definitely include like not being super aware of election times and dates, early voting, depending on where you live, when polls are open. That is a barrier because those things are not a part of our common everyday lived experience. You either have to like receive mail. I don't know if you remember being 18, but I wasn't receiving a whole bunch of mail. And that's typically how you get alerted that an election's coming up, with a newly printed voter registration card with your polling place printed on the back. So if you jump around from house to house, which is a normal experience for a lot of young people, you may not get that first reminder in the mail because you're not engaging with mail in that way until you're paying bills. And hopefully 18-year-olds aren't paying bills, but that's also sometimes people's lived experience, to be very honest. Also, like, how often do you get to go places on your own without a parent with you when you are 18? Like, I mean, I'm in Chicago, so young people be hopping on CTA to get to and from the school, but there often isn't just like free range movement for young people just to be able to go to a place and do a thing on a regular basis without some support there. That's also a barrier. And then having the right materials with you. Some folks may not know that the first time you cast a ballot, you have to bring an ID. And some folks think that an ID is a state ID, but in often many places, high school IDs also work. So making sure you have the right materials with you to make the magic happen is also a barrier. So there's a lot of things that folks often take for granted because we're, you know, culturally used to engaging with mail. We're used to having to traverse government websites to find information. We kind of understand you have to have an ID on you at all times for engaging with official systems like the election authorities. So a lot of these things that typically don't come natural to people and that information aren't freely shared are often missed and contribute to young people not going. Another huge element is folks not feeling super comfortable and confident and educated to make a full decision because a ballot is not just the president upcoming. Mm-hmm. Every state has different stuff and it's a very long document. So if you even pull up a sample ballot, you may be a little overwhelmed because you don't feel like you have enough information to make an educated guess to show up, and folks don't want to like show up and only fill up out half the test because it feels like you're failing, because that's kind of the only thing that you can draw correlations to with a ballot is like a test. And you don't, if you don't know all the answers, you don't want to fail. So you don't show up.
Yeah, no, it's definitely intimidating. And there's moments even I go to vote and I'm like, what is this? And here in California, like we have the longest ballots, like maybe of all time. Like I think my last one was 10 to 14 pages. I'm like, this is too much.
And you're just like, what is this?
What is this? But when we are looking to 2024, we're also super curious, like what the landscape looks like in terms of the youth vote. Like how many people are eligible to vote coming into next year and coming into that to November of next year. And I guess how many people are registered? How many people are there to register? Like what is that landscape looking like so far?
So there, I will say that there's some very exciting information around young people and the impact that we can have in elections. Just talking about Gen Z, there's roughly 41 million young people who are going to be eligible to vote.
Wow.
8 million of those are first-time voters. Love a first-time voter, makes me very excited. So that's that's 8 million new possibilities. And the cool part is that young people are the most diverse electorate. It's so wonderful because that's meaning that more diverse perspectives are being added into that mix. When it comes to millennials, around 62 million millennials are going to be up as well, joining forces with the 41 million Gen Zs. So the voting power that young people have is actually like table turning, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. The opportunity for young people to come voice their opinions and move the country in a direction that they see as productive. Like we've never had this capacity before, just from sheer numbers. And that to me is really exciting potential, understanding that if we show up, just showing up and casting a ballot, we have the opportunity to make larger shifts than we ever have. And to me, that is so motivating when you think about, oh, I'm just one vote. Like, is my vote going to really matter or count? Well, in this chorus, in this number, we actually, the odds are in our favor. And that these last couple elections have been the first time. And we see that through the election results in 2022, through the local elections that just happened, that like when young people show up, us just showing up has a huge impact that you can see and feel. And that to me is really motivating and creates a little bit more hope than we've had in the past few years.
Totally. I think it's because young people understand like virality.
Yes.
Literally your one like, your one view can make something go viral.
Yes.
There we go. That's how we can equate it.
I mean, and that is such like a real person way to explain it. Like, yes, one vote, not very impactful, but when we come together and like we band together as a community and as a generation that has very clear values that differ greatly from that of our parents and our grandparents, like we love a rebel story. We love a standout against the status quo. And we have the opportunity to do that. Like that's a really empowering place to be. So I'm excited for 2024, and we can see, I mean, like Gen Z turned out at a higher rate than any first-time voters ever did in 2022. And to me, I'm like, oh, that's power. That's like very clearly powerful. So I'm excited to see what happens in 2024. And I know that Gen Z is showing up and ready to go for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt, like super crazy. I like, we're not like necessarily numbers people. We're pretty bad at math, but like the numbers that we do get excited for are always like the exit polls of, okay, so who showed up? What's the percentage? How much can we improve that by? You know, like where are we going to land? So that is something that after Election Day next year, I'll be very excited to see and dissect and all that. But obviously we want to make those numbers as big as possible. And I'm curious from your perspective, you know, what does that look like? What does that process look like in terms of getting people ready and registered? Like, how do we make sure that as many people as possible, specifically young people, are registered to vote and not just registered, but actually show up?
Well, the first step, like you said, getting folks registered and like doing it now, not waiting until later and like completely bogging down your local boards of elections with a flood of new registrations, keeping a steady drumbeat is, to me, the key to success. And ways that folks can do that is you can send them to really awesome digital spaces like ballotready.org or vote.org are two options. I personally am a ballot ready girl. I use it every election cycle because it allows you to check your registration status. It sends you directly to your local boards of elections to get registered. And then also, it like tells you who all your elected officials are. It tells you a little snippet of what they do, and then you can look at their vote record. So it's like one place that everything is put into a beautiful, neat package. And it also allows you to engage with it outside of election. So you can like directly message your representatives from it. And then when elections come around, you see what seats are available. And then you see every single human that's running with direct links to their own campaign websites, so you can read all of that information for yourself and become the most educated voter possible. You can even populate your entire ballot from top to bottom, so you have your own little cheat sheet. Like, it's an open book test here. And I love that. So I always will encourage folks to go to ballotready.org. If you're not sure if you're registered, go there, check your registration status, get up to date, and then start doing your research early. Also, like, if you are motivated, so start having more conversations with your friends and family. If you're an organizer, let's start meeting young people where they're at. And we know young people are at schools, they are at local events and festivals. Like, you can start being an organizer yourself. Go out, get some registration forms and start registering your peers to vote. Be an ambassador for that process, because if somebody you trust helps you navigate it, you're more likely to feel comfortable and you're more likely to engage more fully and actually turn out and vote and make that magic happen. So starting the drumbeat early, and then also like providing folks with really clear resources to help them engage with the process more intimately is two ways that you can at least start it now so that folks are ready and excited and feel prepared come November next year.
Yeah,
totally. Which, and guys, just reminds me, the worst test that I like the worst grade I ever got was on an open note test.
How?
Like, I don't know. And it was like earth science. Like, it was like an elective I had to take in college. And somehow I managed, like, I mean, it wasn't like the world's ending, like worst grade of like society kind of situation, but it was one of those ones where I was like, oh, I got this. Like, it's open note. And I
overconfident. To this day,
totally overconfident. So not to negate from, you know, that, you know, analogy, it's totally on point. Just don't follow my confidence. I prepare too. So that's,
yeah, maybe look and at the notes again the night before. Yeah.
Well, Ballot Ready will put them. your cheat sheet together for you, basically. Yeah. Too. So there you go. You don't have to do too much homework. But I was curious too if you can expand a little bit on like why it's so important to register early, especially like when looking at some of these states across the country who like have certain rules and laws in place that make it harder to register the closer you get to election, and there's just all these rules and all of these things that make it really, really complicated and not easy. So can you kind of like just emphasize and like expand on, you know, why, say if you're in Mississippi, like why you need to like really be on top of it?
Yes. So depending on where you are, it really does range what you have access to. Some folks have access to pre-registration, which means like if you are not yet a voting age, you can pre-register to vote with your local election authority so that when your 18th birthday comes around, it's on autopilot. It's like a bill. It's automatically done for you and you'll get your voter registration card in the mail. So that's like your sign that you are set and ready to go. If you get that nifty little card stock with your polling place on the back, that's kind of how you know that you are officially registered to vote. Some folks have pre-registration. I encourage folks to take full advantage of it. I think it demystifies and makes easy the registration process. You don't even have to think about it. Or if you, I'm a person that likes to create celebrations. When I turned 18, I registered to vote on my 18th birthday and felt very empowered by that. But I'm very nerdy. If you're not like me, that's totally okay. I'm a total nerd. I was like, I'm so excited. I'm going to register to vote. And also it was 2008 when I turned 18. So it meant something a little different for me to show up. And also I'm a November baby. I'm a November 7th baby. So I'm an election baby. I was born on a midterm election day. So like, it's just,
that's incredible.
I joke that elections
the serendipity of that.
Right. So I'm like, ooh, I registered to vote and was ready to rock and roll. Like, very early on, which was really exciting. But typically you have to be registered something around like 30 days. It varies from state to state. I'm in Illinois. It's 28 days before an election. You have to be registered at the place that you live at. And if you don't have same day registration, like that is the big barrier that you need to have front of mind and why registering to vote as soon as possible is so important. Because if you hit that 1 month mark, you may not be eligible to vote in that upcoming election based on where you live. So paying clear attention to what your local elections require to be registered and the dates they give you are really important. If you live in a place like Colorado, Oregon, or Illinois, we have something called like same day voter registration, meaning that you can show up the same day of an election and register to vote and cast a ballot at the same time. Depending on where you live, early voting will also include that. So you can show up anywhere from like 2 weeks until an election, show up to a local polling location, register and vote. To do that, though, you have to keep in mind that you will need two forms of ID, one that like matches your face and one that matches your residence or where you live at. So like a bill and like a school ID to be able to register to vote. Especially if it's your first time voting, you will also have to bring an ID to the polling place. So like as young people are getting ready to go, those are also a few things you need to keep in your back pocket to know if you're not registered to vote and you're using same day, you're going to need an ID and a piece of mail, like a formal mail. So with like a bank statement, a cell phone bill, or a high school transcript, you can go to your local counselor and get a copy of your transcript. That is an official document and you can use that to register to vote. Same thing for college students as well. If you're not receiving a whole bunch of mail, you can use your school's information that they give you as a valid form of ID to register and vote same day, which is really great. But keeping in mind that in some states, like here in Illinois, if you register, if you use same day voter registration, sometimes you may be given a provisional ballot. And provisional ballots just mean that they have to confirm that you are actually an eligible voter before your vote is counted. So just based off of that, your information will not be counted until after the election. So like that night when you're watching TV and all of the results are coming in, your vote is not counted in that number. Yours is counted later. And so for that reason, we always are like, you want to be registered ahead of time. You want all of that taken care of so that you know that when you're watching TV on election night, that your vote is in that number for sure, without a doubt. And that's the foolproof way to make sure that your vote is counted. So there's a lot of ways to get registered. You can either like do it way ahead and get pre-registered. You can register by the normal deadline outlined by your state. And depending on if you have the option, you even can wait until election day to register and vote. But if you do that, you may get a provisional ballot, meaning your vote's counted later. So we always recommend doing it ahead of time.
Yeah. I'm curious in terms of advice for especially like college students. I mean, this would be with high school too, on election day. So you have same day registration and you're trying to like get everyone to go to the polls and you're finding out, okay, this person isn't registered. This person isn't registered, but like, let's get them there. Like, how would you like advise like a conversation like that to go? Like, how would you say like, you can like sort of get your friends that aren't registered that day to like get to the polls? Like, what's that motivation look like?
For me, it's always focusing on issues that move people to a ballot box. We all know that, like you said in like your last couple of podcasts, that young people don't often like all the candidates that are available to them. You're not going to find someone that, you know, meets all your requirements, but you can get at least like what, 60 to 80% there. And so instead of trying to focus on the humans and exciting people around a person, it's way easier to motivate folks if it's an issue that is tied to someone's direct lived experience. So I often will be like, what is something that is directly impacting you or a family member right now that like is really front of mind to you that's keeping you up at night? Because there's usually a political issue at the root of that concern. It could be access to healthcare. It could be access to a job. It could be paying back your student loans. There are always something that like is directly in someone's lived experience that can connect to an issue that could bring someone to the ballot box. So finding that issue and connecting it to that current election and showing that like it's really important that you show up. If it's not for the president, if it's not for your local representative, then it's going to be for, you need to know how these people fall on issues that directly impact you. And then let's vote for that reason, not for the specific human. Because what we're going to do is we're going to hold them accountable to those issues after the fact. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna, this is not a election day and step away situation. This is like a 24/7, 365 situation where we hold folks accountable to the promises that they make when they're campaigning and then hold them to the responsibilities they have to the people that they represent. So that is how I connect folks to voting in an election. It's over the issues over the people 90% of the time for me.
I love that. That's such good advice. Well, thinking about voter plans, can you kind of give a breakdown of really like what's in a voter plan and like why it's so important? Like those logistics are so important. And like you said, like the way you also like physically move to and in like a polling place. Can you kind of break that down and like how you go about making a good voter plan?
Yeah, it's not dissimilar to like going to the gym for me.
That's some people, such a point. Oh my God.
That's so it.
Some yes. people really like going to the gym. It is a natural part of their everyday experience. It's just mm-hmm. autopilot, pack my gym bag. I'm going in the morning. I get up at 5 a.m. or I go directly after work. And it's something that's just a part of their everyday experience. And some folks like me, it's like, oh, I just missed the exit to go to the gym. Oh no, I just got to go tomorrow. Yeah. So when it comes to making a plan, it's like being prepared and understanding all of the logistics and all of the little steps it takes to getting there that will make you more likely to do it. So, but also the issue part, like I mentioned before, is to me, like the last cherry on top, the really important part. But a vote plan is basically just thinking about, okay, it's election day. When am I going to go and vote? Am I going to go in the morning? Am I going to take a break from work? Because legally, everyone gets 2 hours to go vote. Don't forget that. Or am I going to go after? Okay, I've picked the time of day that I'm going to go vote. Okay, how am I physically going to get there? Am I walking to my local polling place? Because typically polling places are within close distance to your home. Am I going to take the bus there? Am I a public transit girly? We love a public transit human being. Am I going to ride my bike? Am I going to drive my car? How am I physically going to get from my home or work to the local polling place? And then do I have all my information? Have I done my research? Do I feel like I'm going to pass this test when I get there? So I make sure to download my ballot ready because most of my polling places are in schools and they're made of like a lot of cinder blocks and cement, hard to get internet connection there. So I make sure that I have my ballot like on my phone or printed out so I have all the information. And then from there, you take all that information together and that creates your vote plan. It's a who, what, when, where, and how checklist to making sure you have everything you need and have it all planned out and in your calendar for you to actually go and get registered to vote. But to me, I like sit and ground myself in, okay, even if I have my gym vet packed in my car and like, I know that I'm going to go at 6 p.m. because the polls close at 7. I have to be in line by 7 and I have my ballot downloaded. Like, what's going to make me turn off the highway? What's going to make me like pop off Lakeshore Drive so that I go to my local polling place and I like root myself and like, okay, I am voting because this issue is really important to me. And if I don't show up for this, like I'm not showing up for the people that I care about and the ways that I want to. So like, I need to remember that when I see my exit, this exit isn't just for me. It's for my people. It's for the people I care about because I want to see this element of my life get better or this element of my loved one's life get better so that I actually turn off and go to the gym or go to my local elementary school so I can go vote. So to me, those elements come together to create the perfect vote plan.
Obsessed.
So good. All of it. Like, so good.
Well, I'm curious in terms of how you prepare, how do you find out info about candidates? Like what's your, you know, sort of secret sauce in terms of that research process? Because also some candidates, it's super easy to find info at. You're like, okay, how many articles I've got? Like there aren't enough hours in the day to dissect like a particular person. And then you'll get to a certain, you know, race, like school board is so notorious for this. And you're like, I literally don't know which person is which.
Yeah.
Like, how do you learn about them? And also what are your tools to, for those candidates and those races where you're like, there's barely any info about them?
Yes. So for, like I said, I use Ballot Ready. And that's usually my one-stop shop. But if I'm still wanting for information, I head over to Ballotpedia because it also provides just like general information. And it will also link you to relevant articles and campaign websites as well that will give you a little bit more information so you feel a little bit more confident. But when it gets down to, like you mentioned, the down ballots, for us here in Chicago, it's the judges. You have like 60 judges on your ballot and you're like, who are these people? I literally have never heard of these humans before. I might have seen their face on a little sign in the middle of like the fairway. I'm not sure though. For me, I look for local organizations that do that work to demystify it for me. So for example, in Chicago, it's Injustice Watch. They do an amazing voter guide. Chicago Appleseed, they do a wonderful judicial voter guide as well. So, and those are typically folks that are looking at bar association recommendations to provide like, this is how they show up at work every day. So it gives you like that day-to-day information. So I typically will try to find a local organization just from my Googles, like Chicago Bar Association recommendations. And it will populate some spaces for you to go to and navigate. So understanding some key things like local, like you know your ward. I know that's hard. That's really hard. Know your ward, know your district. So like you may have to look up like Milwaukee City Council districts, find your district, and then look up your local school, like my local school, Kenwood Academy, Kenwood Academy School Board, and start doing the good old thing. It's a lot of research. It is, I admit it, but it's for good purpose. And I swear it's worth it. Also, yeah. A lot of times for the really small elections, those humans will be at your polling place. They will physically be there. I walked up to my local school council race and I think there was 5 folks on the ballot. 3 of them were standing outside. So I had a opportunity to like shake their hand and talk to them and ask them the issues that I really cared about and get their real time responses to me.
See, which... that is like the attitude to have when I see them. I'm literally like, oh my God, I'm such a people pleaser. I'm like, don't be mad at me that I'm not voting for you. Don't see me. Like that kind of reaction. Cause I'm like, don't be mad. I'm like, they don't even know who I am. Like, it's not, they don't know who I'm voting for, but I feel like they know.
Samantha Ting.
Just the anxiety. Like,
I feel like it's like speed dating for me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, how do you feel? I think what was the question I asked my local school council? It was talking about removing school resource officers or police from the school. And it was a high school. So it was like a contentious back and forth between the local school council, parents, the PTA, teachers, and students. So it was like a very, for like a democracy purpose, of a very rich conversation. You just like don't think that this is happening on the local level, but it is. So I had a really unique opportunity to talk to 3 of the candidates and be like, how do you feel about the school resource officer situation? And if they did not match what I wanted, I'm like, I appreciate that you are like hyper invested in local democracy. I think this is really important. It's super clear that you care about community. I love that for you and for us, but you are not my candidate. But I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and then keep it. Yeah. I just like kept it thank moving. I'm next. Like, thank you. Yes, exactly. So I think that I conceptualize it and try not to feel bad because everyone's showing up for speed dating and we kind of understand what the rules of engagement are. And like, if this 3-minute conversation doesn't go well, it's on to the next one. Like, thank you so much for your time. It was nice to get to know you, but no, it's not good for me. Oh. And finding the right human for that is super important. So like taking the time to have the conversation and not feeling like I'm obligated to you in some way, shape, form, or fashion because you gave me your elevator pitch. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
You're so right.
And I'm honestly, really
trying, talking, like, embody this.
Talking about politics on a first date is something we're very used to. So that really that aligns. Well, also curious too about doing the candidate research and doing just like the ballot research in general is one thing, but there's kind of another like deeper layer to it, which is like actually understanding what the roles actually are. That's something we're chipping away at here at Girl on the Gov, just kind of understanding like what even is a Secretary of State and what am I even looking for of like what values or, you know, policies and issues that they stand on. So I don't know, I'm curious if you have any tips of kind of really understanding kind of the deeper civic part of your ballot and all the roles and like what they do, because that is like a mission in itself. And again, a bigger one that we're chipping away at as well.
That, like I mentioned, Ballotpedia does a really great job. To me, that's like for my political brain, I love how they break down like this is what this role does and the areas of government they have jurisdiction over. Because often like we'll send a voter guide to a Secretary of State and they're like, I don't actually have the ability to weigh in on half of these things. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate that you want to engage me and I'm going to like answer these questions the best that I can, because they still want to be a part of a voter guide or still want to reach the same demographics that we reach out to. So I use Ballotpedia as a place to be like, what does this human do? And when it comes to the areas of government they have oversight over, that's when I can like zero in. Okay, how do I feel about, for example, a treasurer like investing funds? That seems like scary. Like, okay, if I were a human, just me, where would I want my tax funds to be invested? Do I want them go to corporations or do I want them to go to other places? And then being able to take it from that real human place to be able to like, okay, so this person wants to invest city funds here. I agree with that or I don't agree with that. To me, that's an easier way to demystify the process of understanding what their role is and what they have jurisdiction over. So I can laser focus in on the issues that they have jurisdiction over, just like how they personally feel as a politician about a thing that has really nothing to do with their job for real. Yeah, it's like hard to understand. So whenever I've been working with like high school students, I often will be like, okay, what's the difference between a treasurer and, for example, a clerk? Mm-hmm. It's like the difference between like someone who has access to the money and someone who like has access to all the records, and be able to be like, this person is like a glorified note taker, but like also has, not to oversimplify, but like they are the ones who are in charge of all the records and making everything super public. And this person's in charge of like knowing how much money there is and making sure that we're investing it in places that like make us money in ways that we agree with. So like understanding those things and breaking them down is a little difficult. I will name that. And we don't make it very easy, but there are some resources like Ballotpedia that help make that process a little bit easier to understand.
Totally. Especially, I think it's like the admission of like where people stand on certain issues. I think with certain candidates, for example, you can really understand where someone's at, maybe personally, like when they say yes to abortion or no to abortion, but there's certain roles where they can't say any of it. And you're like, okay, well, if I can't understand where you stand on my main issue, like how am I supposed to have a grasp of like what you do and what that result will be and how they'll engage with other, you know, parts of government. I think it can get super overwhelming, but I kind of love the idea of an analogy like guide, like you're describing, of like, okay, this is a glorified note taker. Like this person does that. You know what I mean? Like just to really like make it so easy and have those comparisons. Cause I think that's so helpful to understand like, okay, like what is this in my like day-to-day life? Like who would this be? Like, what is that role? Or like, if I'm on, I don't know, like the lacrosse team, like this would be the captain. This would be the water person. I don't even know. I haven't played sports in so long, but whatever roles still happen on team. The water person. Oh my God. No, guys, at my high school, people would like literally die to be the water person. They were like so excited because they got to put it on their college applications and say they're on the team. And they got the t-shirts, like everything. It was a whole situation.
No, I feel you. I was the stats person for one season for my school's volleyball team. And it's funny because the coach was actually my math teacher. And they were like, so I don't really think you should be the one based on your grades and the fact that you have a tutor. You shouldn't be. And the stats just aren't right, girl. They're not right. So I got fired pretty quickly from that. But that's hilarious. A part of the team. I was out here, you know, with my little tally sheets doing it wrong. So I feel it.
Go if I win. I love it.
Wait, that's incredible. Hilarious. Don't worry. I was like also bad at stats and I had to like retake it in college because I had a math requirement. It was a nightmare. And my professor did not speak English at all. So I'm terrible at math. I'm terrible at stats. Like geometry, I can kind of get my head around, but like stats, I don't know what it is. It just doesn't compute. And I was like, I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what's happening. I don't know how I passed that class. It was honestly like a miracle of God. Like that is all I can even put it in.
And now you're here.
But we're here. So yeah. Now
we're here. You made it. You still made it regardless. You made it
out the mud, the math mud.
Craziness. Well, we do want to do sort of like a quick little roundup of like what you would say is, for lack of a better term.
What you would say.
So what you would say is, I'm going to work on that, plural. Guys. I need some more coffee.
What you would say. Like
the grammar's. Plural.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have a friend that says like, well, my vote doesn't matter, what would you say to that person?
I would say your vote doesn't matter to who. Mm. And have them answer it. Like, who are we talking about? Because like your vote matters to me. You're my friend. I care about you. Are you saying that my vote doesn't matter to you? Like, instead of like facing the issue towards like this big ambiguous system, connecting a vote to other people besides the politicians in power. Because to me, voting is like the first step in civic engagement. It's the foot in the door. It is not the culminating action. It's the beginning action of somebody investing in the people around them and their community and what they want and the things that they want to see. If you're hanging out with like a logical or a money person, being like, well, have you looked at your pay stub recently? I live in Chicago. Almost like 30% of my income is going somewhere. And I want to at least, even if they're like, especially in today's day and age, like my tax money is not being used in the ways that I want it to be used. And there's not a whole lot you can really do about that outside of staying on your elected officials and making your opinions super clear through your vote. That is like the whole process. That's why we live in this democracy. So at bare minimum, what I can do is show up and like give my 10 cents. That is what mm-hmm. this process is about. And then after that, I can stay on you and I'm going to stay on you. So for me, when a friend says like, I don't vote or my vote doesn't count, I was like, your vote counts to me. Mm-hmm. And it counts to our community because you voting and your tax dollars are like why the school next to my house is shut down. Like there's so many real life ramifications of politics yeah. on our life that like you can't ignore it. And so like when I'm voting for my community, I'm voting for the people I care about. And so like if you don't want to vote because you don't really vibe with the humans who are in power, like me too. And I'm not voting for them. I'm voting for me and the people I care about. So let's do this together. And at bare minimum, we let them know that like, I voted for this referendum because I think that women should have the right to choose. And I'm not going to let anybody get my voice confused in all of this noise.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, all my friends, I'm like, it matters every time you complain about how much money gets taken out of your monthly payments. Like,
and it's a lot. Like it's
a lot. And then you're like, I wish I just knew where it went. I'm like, that's literally what voting is.
That's what we're doing. That's literally what we're doing here today. Yeah. I will pick you up at 3 o'clock. We're going. Yeah,
exactly. I have a solution for you. Okay. Next one is just, I don't vote. Like for kind of the like non-politicals of the world. Curious what a good response and dialogue is there.
I feel like such an organizer because I'm always like conditioned to answer a question with a question. You're like, I don't vote. Why?
That's smart though.
I just want to know why. Because there's like a variety of reasons why somebody could not vote. It could be like, I'm taking a principled stance. It could be, I've just like never done it before. So you don't really know how to address the issue unless you like know what the issue is. So totally. my first question is, okay, well, why not? Let's dive into why. If it is the first question of like, I don't vote because I don't think it matters. Like we can go down like, okay, let's connect it to an issue or to your community. If it is, I just have never done it before and I'm not like super comfortable, I'd be like, oh, cool. Well, like that's totally fine. Can we at least get you registered? So in case you feel oh so moved closer to election day, you still have the option because voter being registered to vote is just giving you the option, doesn't actually require you to do anything. So that also takes the pressure out of the situation when you get into a conversation. Cause I know that like some folks could feel really cornered by being asked, like, do you vote? Oh, why not? Like, that's a, let's not make people feel attacked. Let's let them feel empowered to have an open-ended conversation because it's easier to like compel somebody to action if you like know for real why. Mm-hmm. So that's usually my first step is like asking them why and then validating their experience. Like if it's because I voted and the election still didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to, being like, that happens a lot more often than not. But let's talk about the importance of like regularly showing up and consistently showing up for your community, even though things don't turn out the way that you want to. And then pointing folks to other ways outside of voting, they can also still be involved. And if like the person that you wanted didn't get into office, the person who did get into office is still required to represent you. Mm-hmm. It's literally their job. Totally. So like, you don't like that person? Cool. Let's talk about engaging with this human in a way that is going to be empowering to you, regardless of like the outcomes of the election. So that's typically how I would handle that question.
I'm obsessed. And I think that's so pertinent because after the midterms, we had a lot of, you know, comments on our TikToks and also just seeing other content as well of young people in very quote unquote red states. You know, obviously there's argument of like what's red, what's not, is it voter suppressed, all of that, putting that into like one bucket, being like, well, I voted and it still didn't matter. We didn't even come close. Like, why did I vote? And I think it's this huge barrier for young people sometimes where it's like they see one that doesn't work out and then they sort of like pull away. They're like, okay, well, then what difference is it making? And like to me, I'm very much like, well, if you don't run, you can't win. And you have to keep trying until you do win and making like those changes. But I think I also like live in a very blue area. So like for me, it's harder to, I just don't have the same experience, you know, and I don't have the same like fears of being in a red area or a red state where things are so compromising. And so I'm curious if there's also anything to sort of like wrap it up, like that you would like use as like a motivator to be like, don't lose hope. Like you can, you can still make change even if your candidate like doesn't win, or your party, or the issues that you see, you know, are just not coming across the way you want.
Just because there's a goalie doesn't mean you can't shoot.
Sports. Look at us. We play the sports.
Yes.
I love that analogy. And it also circles back to how we started the conversation. I'm like, the odds are in our favor right now. Like, let's, we are so inundated with like, oh, this election, like, I'm not even going to give power to specific names, but like there's a lot riding on this election and like it's not looking good, or I'm really nervous. It's like, okay, but like at the end of the day, young people statistically are going to be able to make this decision, and you get to be a part of that. And that's pretty awesome. Like,
yeah,
young people, by and large, this is the most progressive generation that's ever been eligible to vote, and we're adding 8 million of them. It's giving like Austin Powers 8 million of them. Like, this is this, if we've ever been able to win or had like been predicted to win, this is the time. So like, let's lean into that and see what we can do. Let's just see. I know that like if you live in a red state, this is hard, but you showing up and voting your values still has a benefit. It's still going to benefit. Especially because like you still are making your voice heard. And then after these folks are elected, you can still be on them after that to still try to get the issues that you want at the forefront of what they're doing, even in your home state. Like, you still have the ability to voice your opinions. You still have the ability to be heard. And we have the highest probability of winning if we just show up. So let's just see what we can do. Let's just try.
I always say it's a long game. I think that's always just such a forgotten aspect of politics in general. And people want that immediate, you know, instant gratification. And that's just not necessarily how the system works. And, you know, but we've seen really awesome results in the past couple of years, from Georgia to some crazy movement in like Mississippi. Like, these things are possible. And it just takes like time and chipping away and like people to stay engaged and stay into it and not lose hope. So,
yeah, look at what just happened in Ohio. Like, that was amazing. Like, you can't tell me young people didn't do that. You can't tell me that. So it's like, we have the odds in our favor. Like, let's see what we can really do to see how far we can push, because we love a rebel narrative. We all like, oh no, we are going to make our grandparents so unhappy. Like, let's turn up in 2024 and see what we can do to make people as unhappy as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Well, thank you so much. This was incredible. And I think such like a great breakdown with all the analogies and all the things and the answers and the responses to people, like super, super helpful. And I feel like just the answers that we all need, especially as we go into like this kind of daunting election year. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. No, we can do it. We've got this. This is 2024 our election, and I'm really excited for it. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to brag about young people and the power that we are about to take in 2024. I'm speaking into existence.
Oh, yeah.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it coming and chatting with y'all. Y'all are always so lively. And just like, this is how I talk to my friends about politics. So it's so wonderful and refreshing that there is a space where people can tune in and feel like they're talking to their friends about politics. Because that is really, to me, a huge element about becoming more comfortable with your political self and learning how to show up in ways that you want to. So I think that the space that you hold is super important. Thank you so much.
And you're so good at it. And I literally just learned so much about how to talk to my friends as well. So thank you.
Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.